You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Ryan, we're almost to the end of the year, and I feel like this last month, we really have hit gold in some of our podcasts.
There is no question, Pam. I hope our listeners feel the same way. I hope their education bucket is getting filled, and they are increasingly ready for the holidays, too. But yeah, we have had some great episodes and really super, super great topics.
Yes, today's topic is another one, we always like to explore maybe things that people don't know or understand and learn more.
Right. We've said this a few times on our podcast that when we started this podcast, we made some commitments to ourselves and to our listeners that we were going to ask the hard questions, we were going to seek out experts, and we were going to cover topics that maybe they were unaware of or had no idea. And I feel like we do that on a regular basis, and that's no different than today's episode, right?
Right. I'm excited.
I am too. This is one of those episodes, you guys that are listening, I can promise you, you're not going to know everything we talk about today. So buckle in, get ready, maybe grab some paper and pen. There's going to be some good stuff to jot down. Of course, if you're driving, just plan on listening to this again. All right. But no, we're super excited. Our guest actually reached out to us, Pam, and I think that's cool. We're very excited to have Dr. Jessica Landman. She's a leading naturopathic doctor specializing in integrative oncology, dedicating her time to empowering cancer patients through a holistic approach that combines evidence-based complementary therapies with conventional care. She graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in 2013. She developed a passion for cancer care during her clinical year, where she was selected for specialized training in adjunctive cancer care. Dr. Landman has since dedicated her career to helping cancer patients feel their best, believing that improved well-being leads to better outcomes. Her practice incorporates various complementary, and that's a key word, complementary therapies, including nutrition, acupuncture, botanical medicine, and all of this is tailored to each patient's individual needs and stage of their cancer journey from diagnosis through palliative care. Dr. Landman, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I tell you, I think it's important. Let's just really start at the beginning, because integrative naturopathic oncology is a huge word, and I don't want our listeners to go, yeah, that's not for me, click, and they turn off. So let's explain what integrative naturopathic oncology is.
Sure. Yes, you're right. It is a mouthful, and it sounds fancy. Some people might think of it or be more familiar with the words complementary therapies or natural therapies, holistic therapies. Those are buzzwords that a lot of people use, and it mostly implies non-prescription medications, or natural could be exercise, meditation, yoga, of course, nutrition. Even certain supplements, of course. Stress management, like just things to support the body. So now, because this is a huge field of medicine, there are organizations all over the world that are joined by oncologists and nurses and many different healthcare practitioners, because what research is really finding is that patients who are using, I'll say, both types of medicine, so conventional cancer care, which we mostly think of as chemo, surgery, radiation, now immunotherapy, and are using that alongside complementary and natural therapies, which is things like I just said, like nutrition, acupuncture, exercise. This is the integrative. So we're taking both types of healthcare and using them together concurrently. And what's happening is that people are getting superior response rates, so responding better to chemotherapy, and then they're also feeling better. So having a better quality of life, less side effects like nausea, fatigue, pain, sleep sleep disturbances, digestive disturbances, which is really important because what I always say to my patients is that, you know, when you feel better, you do better. And anyone who's been through that journey, that would probably resonate very deeply with them.
There is no question. You know, there's a few things that I think I'm you know, peaked, kind of a light bulb went off in my head, and I'm assuming some of our listeners, Pam, were the same way. Superior response rates, that's a great thing. Right. Less side effects, I'll take every bit of that, yeah. And better quality of life. I mean, really and truly, if we're saying, okay, merging these together in various pieces and parts, both traditional chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery with the complementary care together, it's a no-brainer. I mean, right? Is that are we missing something here?
No, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. And, you know, not to say that there's not ways of treating, you know, side effects with other prescription medications. But again, those also can have, you know, other side effects or people don't feel well. And so more and more people are just asking the question, what else can I do? And so that's where specialists in integrative oncology are really answering those questions and playing a role.
Do you feel like this is something recent that these two have merged together to make patient care better?
Interesting. So I've been in practice for 13 years. when I would say maybe the first half of my career, it felt like no one else on the planet knew it existed. And so it felt kind of like a battle sometimes trying to explain to my patients, oncologists, and always, you know, writing letters and showing research and publications of look, like, because it wasn't new. Because there's lots of research and you know, this isn't just me who made up these therapies. It's based on clinical trials and research. And so it felt very like, oh man, I'm all alone here. But now, like I said, there's more and more organizations popping up worldwide. So something called the Society of Integrative Oncology. Most of its members are oncologists, MDs, nurses like yourself, other patient advocates. And so now it definitely does not feel new. It feels more exciting. Research is picking up. And I believe it's the future of cancer care.
Pam, does that sound familiar?
Yes.
we kind of have felt the same way. When we started our survivorship program 10 years ago was right after it became the buzzword and, you know, survivorship this and survivorship that, and it was so new. And, you know, we were not having to convince physicians, but really explain the benefits of what we had to offer and that we weren't trying to replicate or take away and take their patients and direct their patients and do whatever. It was just, we're coming alongside you while you treat your patient and providing these other complementary therapies like yoga, like Tai Chi, like massage, like nutrition, like all these things. And then at the same time, oh, by the way, it's free. And then it's like, well, there's a catch somewhere. And so listening to you say, writing letters and sharing and doing, and these are all the things Pam and I have been doing for over 10 years now. And we can certainly sympathize and understand that definitely the difference that it makes by staying in touch with those folks. You know, the interesting thing I find about this is, as you said, this is not new. These things have been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah. So take acupuncture. I think it's about 3,000 years.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I almost said thousands, but I wasn't sure how deep we were getting there. But yeah, 3,000 years. I mean, that's been a while. It's been around a while.
Yeah. You think like there's something to it if it's sticking around that long, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about acupuncture. Let's, if you don't mind, maybe just let's just discuss a little bit of the benefits of that and maybe the stigma around the massive, ginormous needles that we all expect that's what gets used, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, very different size of needle. So a fraction, it's like almost like a width of a hair, maybe like a little bit more. So they actually are quite painless. Most people tolerate it very well. Of course, depending on where it is, you know, there are acupuncture points all over the body. So there's in the face, in the hands, you know, in the toes, in the abdomen. So, you know, some places are more sensitive than others. But acupuncture is, you know, a great example of integrative oncology. And let me just give you an example, and then I'll kind of talk about the research a little bit. So a classic example is people who have pain. So cancer pain from the tumors or from their treatments or post-surgical pains, really anything. And they'll, you know, standard of care might be like an opioid medication, but they might then experience constipation or fatigue, and they're not tolerating this pain medication well, or sometimes it doesn't even really work that well. So they ask that question, what else can I do? And acupuncture is extremely effective at treating pain. And so they start coming to my practice, we do some acupuncture, and suddenly they actually need less, maybe less lower of a dose of a medication or less frequent of a medication, then their quality of life is better because they're not so sedated. They're having regular bowel movements and feeling better that way, but then their pain is actually a lot better. And so it's sometimes we can get people completely off pain medication, but it's a beautiful example of using them together is better. So we can reduce the doses of opioids, and then pain management is superior. So that's like a beautiful example of integrative oncology. And acupuncture is one of the most endorsed integrative therapies, even from organizations like the American Society of Clinical Oncology, because the research is robust and you could go head to toe of what it could treat. So there is a surprising amount of evidence for helping with brain fog, or if someone had dry mouth because they had radiation for head and neck cancer and their salivary glands were destroyed. Or hot flashes, sleep, pain, as I mentioned, constipation or diarrhea, even increasing white blood cell counts during chemotherapy. Acupuncture can help with that. Wow. So, you know, the indications are really endless. And it's a really nice moment of self-care for people as well, because they can go in for a therapy. They're laying on a table. It's usually a beautiful therapeutic environment. You know, the lights are dimmed, there's music, and it's some time they take for them. And it's one of my most favorite treatments to do in my practice because it is surprisingly effective. Sometimes I am still shocked about how well it works sometimes.
So a lot of our patients complain of neuropathy. Mm-hmm. Is that something that acupuncture could help?
It does, yeah. So neuropathy, my experience with neuropathy is, like most things, it depends on how severe it is. So if someone's coming to my clinic, you know, and they're at a 9 out of 10 pain, for example, and they're on all the pain medications, acupuncture might help a little bit for that. But someone who has, you know, that classic numbness and tingling, then it can be very effective, usually within, you know, four to six treatments. But oftentimes people notice a difference even after one treatment. They'll notice some sort of improvement. So yeah, that is one of the trickier side effects to treat with acupuncture, but most of the research is positive.
Yeah, it seems like just about everyone who comes in to our center inquires about, what do you have for neuropathy? And it's tricky. You're right. Let's talk about nutrition. You mentioned nutrition a couple of times. Let's dive in a little bit into nutrition.
Yeah, so it is the number one question I get asked about. So people might bring in, you know, their blood work and their reports, and I'm expecting questions about, you know, what does this mean? Or can you walk me through this? Or have questions about how to treat cancer? And the number one question is, what should I eat? I think it's, you know, it's one of the things that people can control. So people going through cancer treatment really want to feel, and most people, I would say, want to feel involved and proactive. And that is one thing that is directly within their control. I think another big question is because I know that you had a nutrition topic recently, I think, right? Is the misinformation and the contradictory information out there? And it's like, should I go vegan? Can I eat meat? Should I cut out sugar? But can I still eat fruits and vegetables? What about keto? What about fasting? People feel a bit very, very lost. So I spend quite a bit of time educating people about that. And my main message is it's not that complicated. I could tell you exactly what I tell my patients if you want, but yeah, it's the one thing that I want my patients leaving feeling confident that what they're eating is they feel good about their choices and they're not fearful about food.
Yeah.
You know, diet and exercise are so hard and it can be very simple, you know, but I think we overcomplicate a lot of things.
Yeah, it is very simple. And, you know, there's a lot of research with nutrition, like quite a bit. And the findings from nutrition studies are always pretty much the same in terms of like things that you probably want to avoid. It's like processed foods, added sugars, you know, like in sodas and things like that, right? Unfortunately, you know, there is quite a bit of research about red meat, you know, that seems to be a big one as well. But, you know, that's pretty much it, you know, in terms of like things to avoid. So when people come and say, oh, I've been told I can't eat chickpeas or brown rice or carrots because they're high in sugar, I make sure I spend time kind of talking about that misinformation too, right? And because the goods are high fruit and vegetable intake, high fiber intake, high healthy fat intake, and that's pretty much it. And if someone feels better being a vegetarian, then that's their choice. They don't have to be, right? Or if someone does feel better cutting out things like grains, because maybe their digestive system is just unique to other people, then that's fine. But you don't have to. That's no, nutrition advice is not a blanket statement for everyone. It is still a bit personalized.
Yeah, it is. And that's the interesting thing. We've heard countless times from our dietitian is it's very individualized and it's, you have some choices in there, but it's not like this blanket. You have to avoid X, Y, and Z, and that's it. No questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
We love that about our dietitian and just exactly what you said as well. You talked about exercise. Let's talk about exercise because sometimes I know, Pam, we talk a lot about exercise, but as you mentioned, there are lots of studies about exercise. And I would venture to say, again, like you said, with nutrition, most of them show the exact same thing, which is great because it's replicated, right?
Mm-hmm. It's replicated. And that is also, you know, I think like 95% of studies show, you know, it improves quality of life when you're going through radiation or chemotherapy. A lot of the research is with energy. And so as probably the number one recommendation for helping to fight fatigue during those treatments. Of course, it's going to also help, you know, prevent muscle loss, helps with sleep, helps improve mood. And depending what you're doing, you know, if you're joining classes, staying connected with people and not isolating yourself too, which helps that mental health component as well. So yeah, there's nothing but positive research. Also a question I get asked a lot about too, because like, well, is it, you know, 150 minutes a week? Is it 300 minutes a week? You know, what should I do, right? And the same kind of thing. It's like, what do you like to do? If you don't want to go for a run, don't. I don't like running. I would never go for a run. But, you know, I love boxing. I love hiking. I love yoga. I love lifting weights. So what do you like to do? You know, do you like to dance? Do you like to skip rope? You know, do you like to speed walk or join a Zumba class, like whatever it is, right? Do something that's enjoyable most days of the week.
It's
pretty simple.
It is. It is. We just had a podcast recently with one of our dietitians that works with diabetics and helping control blood sugars. And one of the things that she talked about with exercising, which I loved what she said, she called it habit stacking. And she said, I have a habit of walking my dogs. And so I walk my dogs a couple of times, 2 to 3 times a day, whatever that looks like. My habit I'm going to stack onto that is I'm going to walk an extra mile, or I'm going to do this when I'm finished with that and add this next habit on, because I walk the dogs for my exercise, and add this other stacked on habit to gain a little bit extra of exercise. And so I love the fact that you just said, do what you like to do. If you don't like doing it, don't do it, because you're not going to do it, right?
Yeah, because some people do think that, like, oh, I have to exercise, you know. So a lot of doctors will also just use the word movement or activity, or I love that idea of habit stacking too. So you kind of, you know, you can choose your words depending on who you're working with, but people do think like, oh, I'm going to have to run or like do something that is going to be hard, right? So yes, it should feel a bit hard, and that might feel uncomfortable for a little while, but that is kind of what you need. You need to work hard, and then that will, the payoffs on your body are, you know, exponential.
What other areas do you prescribe and you see as being integrative with oncology?
Yeah, so we talked about, you know, so definitely exercise and nutrition. Those are the foundations, right? In terms of, so what I would say the foundations are, things that I'm always looking for and assessing to help with quality of life and side effects and just even just treatment responses are those two things. Also sleep. Also stress management, which you can kind of incorporate mental health into that, and what are people doing for stress management. And then definitely that connection. So you might want to call it, you know, social connectedness or joy and meaning in your life. Something just this, that still feels like people are have a purpose and a meaning. And that's really important, especially when people, if they stop working, or people's lives can change so much, right? And a lot of people can feel a bit behind, or their life's on pause or something, and that can be hard. So that's another foundation, I would say. And then kind of hitting those foundations, we go into like, well, what can we do for treatment? So acupuncture is a treatment. Botanical medicine is a treatment. So botanicals mean plant therapies. And there are many different herbal therapies that have a robust amount of research that are complementary to treatments and help with side effects. So, you know, a common one that people might see or that nurses might prescribe to is, you know, ginger for nausea. There are 35 randomized clinical trials looking at ginger for nausea and how effective it is. Something like ginseng is also endorsed by the American Society of Clinical Oncology for fatigue. So it can help a lot to increase energy levels. And there's many for many different side effects. So that's also a treatment, I would say. Yeah.
So for these herbal medications, I feel like it's probably very important that you talk to your healthcare provider when you are taking these.
Yeah, of course, patients should always disclose that. The thing is that, you know, some pharmacists might be familiar with the drug interactions, and that should definitely be part of their training. A lot of pharmacists still don't get that training, and so it's kind of still hard for patients to get a straight answer, especially if they're coming to someone like me and I'm saying it's safe, because that is my job, right? That's definitely my job, is to know the drug interactions, to know if it's safe, to know the doses, and make sure people are practicing safely without any kind of risk of interfering with treatment.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes some of our oncologists here in town, you know, no herbal medications, but I feel like if they would talk to the oncologist, it might be okay.
Yeah, I think so. You mean patients are told not to take herbal therapies? Mm-hmm. Yeah, by pharmacists?
By oncologists.
Or, oh, by
Yeah, and or their nurses at the treating centers. And so, you know, they're worried about taking anything extra that may show benefit, you know, something as easy as ginger.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, it's not a criticism. It's just not part of traditional medical training. And so I think what seems to me is what feels safe to them is to say a blanket statement, like no herbal therapies, no supplements. And I have done many presentations to oncologists over the years. And what I hear a lot from them is that, well, there's just no research. Mm-hmm. And so then a big part of my presentation is showing all of the clinical trials that have been done with these herbs together at the same time as chemotherapy with other prescription medications, showing that there's no interaction and there's only benefits. So like I said, there's 35 randomized clinical trials with ginger. That's quite a bit of research. Or something like lavender for anxiety. There are over 100 clinical trials that have been tested for looking at lavender and treating anxiety in many populations, not just those with cancer, and it's showing that it's safe. So, you know, it's difficult for patients because they feel kind of like they're caught in between, you know, mom and dad in a fight, right? And they don't want to pick sides or choose. But one thing I recommend my patients to say, especially if they are really wanting to try something else, and a way to bring it up is, you know, I've been doing some reading. Maybe they print off a few studies that they could find online. I've been doing some reading and it's saying that this herb or this supplement might help me with, you know, whatever side effect it is, let's say anxiety or pain. You know, what do you think about this? I would love your opinion. Could you look into this for me and tell me what you think? And so it really opens up that conversation. It shows oncologists that they value their opinion. They want them involved. Oncologists like to feel involved, you know, and I think a lot of people, if they could do their own research and writing, it just changes the conversation to no herbal therapies to, okay, yeah, let's look into this. And yes, maybe I don't know a ton about it, but you're right. I'm also reading that this might help. And if you want to try it, you know, you go right ahead. And right away, it's a very different experience for people.
Well, and it is. It's a team. It's a team approach. I'm reminded, Pam, of when we first started, and there was a medical oncologist who's no longer practicing and said, "Oh no, my patients can't get a massage." And we're like, "But this is different. This is oncology massage." She understands. She gets it. She has been trained in working with cancer survivors and cancer patients in the massage setting. And I think, Pam, she used the example of, if you can get a hug, you can get a massage from me. So as long as you're good with
a great hugger.
Yeah. You know, it's not deep tissue. It's not, you know, the Swedish massage. I mean, it's none of that. It is a different style of massage. And so I think it all goes back to just a little bit of education and a little bit of asking the right questions and being an advocate. Here we go again for yourself.
Right. You also mentioned sleep. What can our patients do about sleep?
Mm-hmm. So different depending on what stage of treatment you're at, I guess, right? So people who are undergoing chemotherapy, they're often prescribed steroids to help with inflammation and pain, which do not help sleep at all. So, you know, certain things are trickier depending on if you're in active treatment. But, you know, of course, like research with exercise is also showing, you know, the benefits on sleep as well. So different anti-inflammatory diets. So like just making sure like you have high protein, for example, high fruit and vegetable intake, higher fruits and vegetables, high in antioxidants, decrease inflammation. Inflammation is often a cause of sleep disruption. Protein, ample research with higher protein intake and helping with sleep. Now, afterwards is also one of the most common things that bring people into my practice is I might be a year out and I'm still not sleeping great. I'm still so tired during the day. And this is where a little bit more investigation also might be warranted. So a recent meta-analysis showed that up to almost 46% of cancer survivors have sleep apnea just as a result of being exposed to chemotherapy. Higher in certain populations, like women who had breast cancer or anyone who had radiation to the chest or the head and neck. But ruling out sleep apnea, I would say this is a bold statement. I would say every cancer survivor who's having sleep issues should be assessed for sleep apnea. It's a huge problem. Restless legs can also really disrupt sleep, often as a result of anemia. Anemia is very common in cancer survivors as well. So let's say you rule out some serious causes of sleep. And then, you know, I mean, I'm always a fan of anything natural. So again, there are many herbs. I could list five: lavender, passion flower, valerian. There is support for melatonin. There is, support for acupuncture as well. So acupuncture, what's interesting is one of the most common acupuncture points for sleep is in the ear. So the ear is very rich in the nerve called the vagus nerve, which is our parasympathetic nervous system. It's our rest and digest nerve. So just putting needles in the ears calms down that nervous system and can help people get a better night's sleep as well. So there are many different complementary therapies that you could use just to help, again, promote relaxation, but not cause any kind of dependence. They're not sedatives. They're just more supporting your body and supporting your nervous system.
And it's not another pill. That's, I know a lot of people are like, I don't want another pill.
Yeah. So some things might be a pill, like melatonin, for example, that might be one thing, but acupuncture is not. A lot of herbs you can take in teas. So that's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also mentioned stress. So what can you do to help patients with stress?
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely, again, something that's very personal. So some people love to journal. Some people, you mentioned the word journaling and they just, you know, they space out right away. You can see they're just not into it, right? So, you know, as a naturopathic doctor, I get to spend so much time with patients. You know, my consults are about 60 minutes. So it's not a quick conversation of like, work on your stress and exercise, and then they're out the door. It's not very meaningful. So I'm working very closely with people of, okay, what can, you know, so what is the stress? Is it you're worried about your, like, fear of recurrence? You know, that's a huge one. Or it's just general worry about, will I respond? Or some people don't even really think that much about themselves, especially women, I would say, because they're in this, you know, I'm caring for my kids and I'm caring for my aging parents. And how am I going to do that? That's their stress, right? And so it could be about, you know, getting even just time management. So working on time management with people. Pick one thing to do every day, and that's pretty much it. Asking for support, you know, if they need help with, you know, driving kids or whether it's just cleaning or something, right? Or very difficult for most people to ask for any kind of help, you know, to kind of get out of these moments where life just feels so overwhelming. Even just taking, you know, a couple of minutes, I call it like putting yourself in the dark, like turn off all the lights, just something, you know, all the sounds, closing your eyes, even just moments like that can be very helpful. Or there are endless podcasts that where you could listen to meditations. Maybe some people respond better to music. Maybe someone for them, it's going to a boxing class because they want to, like, you know, get out a lot of energy that way. Yeah, you know, it's so personal. So it's just like, what is going to work for you? What is the stressor and what can we do about it if we can? What's in our control? And then, of course, you know, working on the how do we deal with things out of our control is important for everyone. But, you know, it's also the role of therapy as well. If people can respond to some sort of cognitive and behavioral therapy with a therapist, there is a huge value there in having and seeking like professional help.
No question. We see that on a regular basis. We have four counselors we work with. One is bilingual. We cover all the bases, and it is so meaningful to be able to work through, and every one of them specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy. So it's we echo exactly what you say on that. I want to get to having you talk about your upcoming book that you have coming out. But before we get to that point, are there any other types of integrative medicine that we want to touch on?
So there are things that are also really gentle too. So we talked about, like, you know, even just exercise. Under that umbrella are things like Tai Chi and Qigong. You know, that's a really important one, because when people are not feeling great and they're thinking of, you know, trying to feel motivated to go and exercise, those kinds of gentle movements are also very, very restorative. Studies have shown that Tai Chi and Qigong also help with sleep and reduce pain and even improve muscle mass and help with weight loss if that's part of someone's goal. So sometimes it doesn't even have to be so vigorous. So those also fall under the umbrella of, you know, complementary therapies too.
Awesome.
Do you feel like Dr. Landman has checked out our website?
I think she's been, listen, you guys listen, she's in Calgary. That's a long ways from Amarillo. But I feel like you've been here. but we're like kindred spirits, because we see the value and the importance. Pam, I know Pam and I have been doing this, as I said earlier, for 10 years, together in all of this. And we've grown and we've grown and we've added and we've done and tweaked and changed, but we think it's so important. That's why it's exciting to have you on, because it validates, right, all the things that we do. And I think it's important that our listeners know that Pam just didn't pick this out of the air and say, we ought to have a Tai Chi class, or have you ever thought about, no, there's some science behind it. There really is.
There's a lot of science, yeah. And it sounds like you guys are doing great work with your podcast.
Yeah. We enjoy it. Well, let's talk about your book. Okay, so March, is that right, in 2026?
That's the plan right now, if it stays on track. Yeah, March 2026.
And let's have the topic. Can you share the topic?
Yeah, so the book is called Beyond Cancer Fatigue, A Path to Reclaiming Energy. And the entire book is dedicated to overcoming fatigue. So it's probably geared more at cancer survivors or caregivers of survivors. It would be great. I mean, it definitely would be useful for doctors as well to learn how to help their patients with fatigue, because it is the number one long-term side effect of cancer treatment that people can struggle with even up to a decade later. And unfortunately, you know, it's one of those symptoms, you know, unlike pain or sleep, there's no prescription medication for it. And so often what ends up happening is patients might go to their doctors and say, I'm just not bouncing back. I'm still so tired. And the advice often ends up being, just give it time, be patient with yourself, you know, be gentle with your expectations. And it's very frustrating, because I would say that's not the best advice. And so, again, because of my experience with survivors and helping them overcome fatigue, it is very responsive to complementary therapies. And I would say, you know, most of my patients feel a lot better. And maybe it's not like every day is amazing. It can always be a bit of ups and downs, but on average, it's always much better and they feel like they're getting their life back. So I have literally been thinking for about 3 years, I need to write a book, because it actually doesn't exist. There are many books about cancer, as we know. even about like natural therapies and nutrition, but there are no books dedicated just to fatigue. So I finally did it. Spent about 9 months, and it's coming out very soon. So I am very, very excited.
Do you feel like patients that suffer from fatigue also have this guilty feeling like, I'm alive, my oncologist has cured my cancer, but here I am still living with this fatigue?
Oh my gosh, yes, it is. It is. So I would say that's also kind of the old way of thinking, you know, of like, well, you're alive, and so just suck it up, you know, and be grateful kind of thing. But that is also the beauty of integrative oncology, is that we're now just... it's not acceptable to have that conversation anymore of just be grateful, because we know how important quality of life is, right? And so we need to shift that conversation and give actionable ways to help people improve their energy. Because as we all know, when you're fatigued, it can affect motivation. People start to isolate. Maybe they don't want to exercise or cook a meal. Maybe they feel they can't work as much as well. There's so many ways it affects your life, right? So you start improving your energy and people truly get their lives back.
Yeah. And we hear that too. We see it, we sense it, we understand it. Let's tell our listeners where they can go to pre-order your book.
Well, it's actually available on Amazon for pre-order. And I'm not sure all the other avenues. I mean, I'm guessing the usual Barnes and Nobles type of thing. I actually haven't checked whether it's there for pre-order, but definitely it is on Amazon.
Of course it's on Amazon.
Right? Of course.
Yeah, so if you're interested, go check that out. Be coming out in March, Beyond Cancer Fatigue, A Path to Reclaiming Your Energy. You know, Pam and I, we just kind of took a really informal poll with our nurses here, and overwhelmingly, I would second that was the number one response that we got back was patients complaining about fatigue. So it is very, very real, and it's very things out there to help you if you seek that out.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And, you know, like how most medicine should be, it's also very personalized. You know, what's going to help one person over the other. So someone who might have had, you know, a month of radiation to the brain, their reasons for fatigue, you know, their underlying cause of fatigue is going to be very different than someone who's had one whole year of chemotherapy, right? Or someone who's had 5 surgeries. Or another example I use is the way you would approach fatigue in someone with depression who sleeps all the time would be very different from someone who suffers from extreme anxiety and can't sleep at all, right? So it's about spending that time and figuring out those causes and going from there. And it is different for everyone.
Yeah.
Can you also give our listeners your website so that they can check out what you do and maybe if they're interested getting an appointment with you?
Sure. My website, there's two, I guess, people could find me at. The first one is just my name. So it's drjessalandman.com. And my clinic in Calgary is called Calgary Integrative Medicine. And the email for that clinic is info@calgarymed.ca. So people could find me there. They can book online. They could book over the phone if that's something that they wanted to. I also offer, I call free meet and greets. So if someone just has some questions about, you know, is this appropriate for me or could you help me in these circumstances, I'd like to be able to offer some free time to people just to make sure this is what they're after and that I feel that I could actually help them too. So it does need to be a good fit.
Yeah. Just a little too far, is there a website that maybe our listeners can find someone like you in our area?
Yes. So there is an organization called the Oncology Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And this is a website that maintains a list of naturopathic doctors like myself who specialize in cancer care. And you can search by state for someone who is possibly closest to you that could help you. That website is onkanp.org.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you guys listening, look into this and find a way to find something that benefits whatever you're having issues with, you know, for an integrative therapy. Again, we are not saying, and Dr. Landman is not saying either, this replaces your chemo and your radiation or your surgery. We're not saying that. I want to make sure that we are bookending this with, you know, that is not it. This is complementary, integrating together the two types of medicine. There's so many reasons, as we've talked about. I think it's important that you educate yourself and dig in and look at it and bring that to the forefront so that it can enhance your quality of life while going through treatment. Pam, we can't finish without, you know, reminding ourselves of when we first started our program and we had someone come in who was a 20 plus year survivor and they were probably in their late 80s. And we thought, oh my gosh, you don't need this. And boy, were we wrong. And she recurred. And this lady came every day to classes. She did not feel well. She was struggling at times. But I'm telling you, what the things that you hit on today of connection, community, stress management, being engaged, being involved, she did what she could do. And not once was she ever hospitalized during her treatment. Not once did she have any severe complications while she went through her second round of cancer, and is still around today. And so that's our little anecdotal, you know, N of one. But I think it's important to hit on that and say it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. And, you know, it's a proactive approach, right? You have to go out there and get after it. You can't just sit around and wait to feel better. So kudos to her. That is an amazing story.
Yeah. Dr. Landman, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would like to cover before we get to our last segment?
No, I mean, I think we explored integrative oncology very thoroughly, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about my book as well. So yeah, no, I feel really good. Your questions were all excellent.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you can leave our listeners with?
Well, I was thinking about it and, you know, at the very beginning, Ryan was talking about, you know, the education piece, right? And it is about educating yourself, being proactive, trying to learn what can help you as well. Because what I always say to my patients is, you know, education brings this awareness, and this awareness can then create intention, and it's that intention that creates action. So start with the education piece and then see how that snowballs from there, and it's only going to positively impact your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Pam, I say it all the time. I love visiting with our guests, especially folks that we didn't even know that Dr. Landman existed.
Right.
This is so wonderful.
And the funny thing is I had a patient probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago bring me this article. And she's like, I need to find someone that I can talk about these things, what you have described today. Where can I find them?
Hmm.
Found her.
That's right.
Anytime. Yes. Happy to talk anytime.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your commitment to improving the quality of life of those going through cancer treatment, and you know, recognizing the benefits that you provide, I think is spectacular. So, thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure, and thank you as well.
Pam, I think the best thing that we can leave our listeners with today is, just as you said, educating yourself and digging in and researching correctly. Can't stress that enough. Looking at good, solid, evidence-based information and bringing that to the forefront and really kind of taking it to heart.
Absolutely. And then maybe go check out on Amazon, see if you would like to order Dr. Lamman's book.
That's right. That's right. And also, you know, we have touched on a lot of things today. A lot of the things that we provide, we don't provide everything that we touched on today. We provide most everything. And I think it's vitally important. Again, if you have questions, you have concerns, how does this work? I don't understand Tai Chi. It sounds crazy. I don't know. Come talk to us. Come sit in on a class. Come, you know, very soon in January, our classes will be virtual. Our Tai Chi class will be virtual. Watch it. All it takes is a little investment and some time, because everything here is entirely free. And so I think it's important to just drive that point home. Take advantage of these things. There is backing for it to that it helps you. There is benefit for it. And it's very simple, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listen, you guys, thank you for joining us. Share this podcast. Share this with your friends. If you're sitting next to somebody in chemo, ask them if they have our app. That's a great thing to do, and show it to them and show them the podcast. They can listen to our app, our podcast directly from our app. It's so simple. It's so easy. If you're familiar with our program, tell them about us. And let them know the resources that we have. And then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.